the ways and works of the world, there is a great difference. And in the next sessions, we want to take you into a deeper look at the different kingdoms, the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of heaven. And we want to tell you about the kingdoms of the world, because most Christians are operating out of that kingdom, just like the people of the world. They're operating out of that same system. And how many know? I want to let you know, it won't work. God says he's different. I'm God, and this is the world. So we're going to have to learn to live by God's word, live by the kingdom of God, and not by the kingdoms of this world. And we're going to go deeper, and we're going to read more scriptures in our next session. God bless.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And I want to commence reading at verse 4. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 4. This verse is laden with so many principles. And if the people of God could ever get a hold of these principles and practice them, it will transform their worship, transfer their praise, totally change their given experience. So many don't know why, they don't know how, and why they don't give to God the way God wants. Because it begins with helping us understand that it's got to be by faith. By faith. All right, if you're there, I'd like you to begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of God. This is a powerful chapter on faith in the book of Hebrews, and each verse lends itself to helping us understand the various personalities who performed issues and are examples of faith. It gives to us the understanding understanding how faith operates, faith within can never be fulfilled until it's released without. In other words, if you say you have faith, there ought to be some works that are connected to your faith. Faith is not just something you think or something you feel, but something you do. The beginning of this chapter, 11 and 1, says, now faith. Now faith. Why is faith a now reality? Because everything that's connected with faith, with God, happens in the present tense. In other words, if I'm going to believe God and begin to act upon what God says, it's going to have to happen now. Now. And when you look through so many of these various personalities throughout this 11th chapter, you're going to notice that their experiences were right now experiences. Not when they had time to think about it and talk about it and deliberate and all of this. It was a God, I heard you, I believe you, I'm doing it. You see, one of the things that the devil knows is if he can keep you from acting now, then 9 out of 10 times he can keep you from acting forever. See, the motion of faith is always present, moving forward. Present, moving forward. Present, moving forward. In other words, when you receive a word from the Lord, that is the basis upon which your faith is stimulated. That is the basis upon which your faith is activated. And if you don't do it now, the question becomes, when will you do it? Delayed faith is disobedience. So you can't say it's faith I'm going to do later. Faith is now, now, now. Listen to what it says. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So one of the things you're going to know about faith is if God said it, that's the evidence right there that he can bring it to pass. I'm waiting for the manifestation, but I'm operating in faith now because I'm believing that what God has said is sufficient to bring to pass what I believe. So then it goes on to say, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. What is a good report? One that satisfies God. A good report is knowing that God is pleased, God is honored with what you have done according to his word. The elders fill the list, and it's just a partial list, but it fills a list in this 11th chapter of those who pleased God with their faith. Now, when we begin to look again at verse 4, it starts off by saying, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, gifts, and by it, by what? By faith, he being dead, yet speaking. Now, this is loaded, my brothers and sisters, but I want to go back to the beginning because I'm only going to have time now to deal with the first part of this verse in this setting. It is loaded, as I said earlier, with principles. And if we would just open our minds and open our hearts and open our spirit to receive what God is saying, it will transform our giving experience. Now, first thing is that we've got to latch hold to the fact that this kind of giving is faith giving. Somebody say faith giving. Faith giving. Can I tell you, all giving is not faith giving? Matter of fact, most of our giving is flesh giving, not faith giving. But the Bible says, by faith, not by flesh, by faith, Abel offered unto God. Now let's pause right there and deal with this word offered. First thing that you need to know is Abel is the younger of two sons of Adam and Eve. Cain was the eldest son. Abel was the youngest son. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He worked with the ground. He dealt with produce. He dealt with growing things from the earth. Abel, on the other hand, was a herdsman. He dealt with sheep and with cattle and all of those kinds of things. And so they had two very different ministries, if you will, two very different modes of operation and occupation. But here is what was also important on both of their parts, that they understood the principles of giving to God, of sacrificing to God, of placing their offering on the altar and rendering unto God those things which belonged to God. And so the Bible begins with Abel because Abel's offering was the best offering. And God chose to highlight and to spotlight Abel's offering because the Bible says in the fourth chapter of Genesis that God had respect unto Abel's offering. And we'll deal with that word respect in the content of understanding how God received Abel's offering. When Abel decided that he was going to give by faith to God, Abel was not dealing with past issues. Abel was dealing with the relevance of now and the future. And so he did something that was costly to him. He took the best of his lambs, 1-year-old lamb, the fatted lamb. He gave it to God, and along with that lamb, he gave God the best parts. When it talks about "and the fat of the lamb," it literally means the most choicest parts. It literally meant the marrow and the best pieces that Abel was able to offer from his herd. He gave all of that to God. Listen. And he brought it and he placed it on the altar. When he placed it on the altar, he did not just place what he had given to God on the altar. But once he placed that on the altar, he then began to give God the best of his worship and his praise. In other words, what he gave God was not just enough in itself. God didn't just want his stuff. God wanted him also. And see, faith givers recognize that God wants the best, not only of what you have, but God wants the best of what you can offer to him by way of praise and worship. That's why it's important for you to recognize whenever you come around the altar to give to God, it's not just pulling money out your pocket and not thinking about it and not being mindful of it and not being reminded of God's goodness to you, God's graciousness to you. It's about you understanding how unworthy you are, and whatever you have to give should be your best every time you give to God. And with that gift, you want to worship and praise him to let him know that, God, not only do I give you the best of what I possess, but I give you the best that is a part of me. And so Abel saw this in the spirit. He saw this in the spirit. His giving was not a fleshly giving, but a faithful giving. And so he took the best of his lamb. He then took the best parts of the lamb and he placed it on the altar. When he finished placing all he could give of his substance to the Lord, he then worshiped God and praised God in the entire experience. What happens after he did that? God sent fire down from heaven and consumed his sacrifice, consumed his praise, consumed his worship. And by that, the record is God had respect unto his offering because God showed him that he received it by coming down in the measure of fire and consuming everything that was on the altar. Now we move to Cain. Cain takes some fruit and some things that he's picked out of his garden, some corn, some apples, some this, some that, whatever. And he put it on the altar and he walked away. And he didn't praise him. He didn't worship him. He just put his stuff on the altar and went on about his business. And one of the reasons God sent fire down and consumed offerings was because he wanted not only the person who had sacrificed unto him to know he received it, but he wanted everyone else to know that he had received that offering. And so when Cain placed all that he was going to give God, some writers said it wasn't his best. The very name Cain is connected with possession. So he was a very possessive person of his possessions. So he probably kept the best of his possessions for himself. You know, possessive folk don't like to give you nothing. And then when they do give you, it's kind of stuff they don't really want. They don't really need. They've outgrown. They ain't got no use for. It's been set to the side so long it don't really mean that much to them. That's how possessive folk give. Possessive folk come around the altar, they put out $1, $2, or $3, they give to the Lord and think that they've done something. Possessive folk don't think about what they're offering to the Lord. It is a offering. God did not ask for it. It is what you are offering to God. So that ought to be indicative of your heart's feeling, of your mind's thoughts, of all that God has done for you. And so your giving experience should reflect the reality of how you feel about God. Cain did not see any fire come down, and he got mad. Genesis chapter 4, just read it, verse 1 through 15. And in the midst of him getting upset about it, he didn't get upset because God didn't rain fire down. He got upset because God did rain fire down on Abel's offering and not on his offering. And so while he's mad and walked away, his countenance has changed. God catches him and says, hey. Hold up, Cain. What's wrong? Why are you wroth? What's wrong with your face? What you upset for? Don't you know if you do something good, you have a right to expect a good return? But by the same token, if you don't do anything good, do you not know you should not expect anything good for what you've not done good? So Cain is upset. And because he's upset, let me just say this. I just want to jump off since I'm in this direction. I'll speak a little more about it. But Cain is upset, not only with God, but Cain is upset with Abel. Now, here's something. Isn't it amazing when folk won't give right and when folk won't do right and then they see somebody else give right and do right, they got nerve enough to be mad with them about what they've done with theirs? Listen, he got upset with Abel, and the record is he went out into the field to have a talk with Abel. I don't know what the conversation was because the Bible doesn't say what it was, but you can imagine what it was, because when it was all over with, he slew his younger brother. He slew his younger brother, and he hid him because he did not want anyone to know what he had done. Now, what he didn't realize is that God saw that his offering wasn't good, and now this deed that he's done isn't good. And God deals with him, and he questions him, and he asks him, where is Abel, your brother? And Cain says, I know not. Then he asks a question that has permeated throughout all time. Am I my brother's keeper? Now listen at this, my brothers and sisters. The answer should have been a resounding yes. Yes, you're your brother's keeper. He should have been the one who protected his brother, cared for his brother, loved his brother, showed his brother the right way. He should have been the one who gave examples of how things ought to be done to his younger brother. But instead, he was jealous of his younger brother and killed him. Well, you're going to read the rest of the story because God lets him know, your brother is calling up to me with his shed blood from the earth. Now listen at this. His blood is speaking in Genesis 4. But in the fourth verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, his gifts are speaking. listen to what the word says. He offered. He worshiped and placed his praise and his sacrifices on the altar. A more excellent sacrifice than Cain, both quantitative and qualitative. His gifts were better. Was it just because it was of the gifts? No, God looked at both the gifts and the giver. And both of them aligned themselves with the proper way to give to God. A more excellent. What is that saying? That God pays attention to what you give him. And not only what you give him, but how you worship and praise him in what you give him. You see, because Jesus draws out the fact when he was sitting over against the treasure, pointing out to the disciples that they had many rich folk giving of their abundance.
They were like Cain. They had a lot. They gave a lot, but there was no worship and praise connected to it. It was just, this is something to do, and it's a worthy cause. Let me give a worthy gift. But God wants more than what you've got. God wants more than your money. God wants more than your stuff. God wants your stuff, your giving, your money to be an extension and an expression of your love for Him. So when folk have to make you give, you're not a giver. You're giving, but you're not a giver. And see, what you miss is God is the one who's going to judge your giving. Do you know that Abel never said anything to Cain about Cain's giving? It was God. When you give, listen, it's not the person sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you, that's going to determine and judge your gifts. It's going to be God. God knows what He's given you. God knows what you've had, what you have, and what you will have. And the basis upon your giving shows to God how you feel about God, which then in turn changes how God gives back to you. And so the last thing I want to say about this, and I'm closing on this message, because y'all get quiet when I talk about giving, is sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. Somebody say sacrificial giving. Listen, so many of us do not sacrifice in our giving because we're giving out of flesh and not out of faith. And if our sacrifice causes us to miss anything in our flesh, then we will not sacrifice. If our sacrifice causes us to not have something we want, then we will not sacrifice. If our sacrifice causes us to feel uncomfortable, then we will not sacrifice. That's flesh giving. But faith giving looks at not only what you have, but listen at this. Faith giving looks at what you're going to have. In other words, faith knows what you have in your hand. But faith knows if you take this seed and you deposit that seed, that you are not going to stop with that seed. You're going to nurture that seed, cultivate that seed, because that seed is going to produce a harvest. So your praise and your worship is not just about what you're giving, but what you're getting in return. But it is because of who you are giving it to. You're giving it to God, the one who is able to create and recreate. The one who is able to take what you've given to Him and multiply it. And when by faith you give your last, your best, your all, you're giving it to the one not only who sees it, not only who knows it, but who is able and willing to multiply it.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things.